Hey, before we get rolling here, Bob Kessler, I just want to make sure I correctly understand, because at any minute this might change, but the lottery officials say while the amount is $2.04 billion wagered, we still don't know if anybody won. Is that right?
That's right, 'cause they, you know, they're gonna have the numbers last night or the drawing, and one of the states needed extra time, so they did the drawing of the numbers today.
There's a story on News Nation today, and it says this is not that unusual. It's happened a few times in the last 12 months where one of the states of the, I think, 48 that participate in the Powerball didn't have their numbers in, and it's because of security protocols, whatever that means. And so this does happen sometimes. They don't announce until they know them all. But $2.04 billion is the number. Is that right? Single ticket was sold in. Oh, okay, here, this. Wow. Pete just whispered in my ear. Pete just whispered in my ear, according to AP just now, a single winning ticket was sold in California. One person or one ticket gets $2.04 billion.
Yeah, three-month stretch without one, so here we go.
Say that again?
It was about 3 months since.
Yeah.
They've been doing it, so.
So I think they started $20 million again, which, you know, I'm not gonna get out of bed for. It's 12-12.
Okay.
All right, John Beaver joins us now. Speaking of financial advisors, what would you tell that person, John? You're a Phase III Advisory Services guy over at phase3advisory.com, financial advisor. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. It's good to be here.
What would you tell that person?
Well, what I would tell that person is, make sure you sit down with a financial advisor, a lawyer, and an accountant before you say anything to anybody. That's number one.
Would you do the annuity, or would you take it in a lump sum?
I would probably take the lump sum, even though the taxes are pretty egregious.
I would do the annuity, only because I'm a coward. I don't want that much money at one time. And, you know, if I gave you $1 billion, you could actually, something could go wrong, and you'd lose it, you'd blow it. But you can't blow money you don't have. So I always thought you'd insulate yourself over 20 years or 30 years with an annuity. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think that's a great idea, and I think as a general advice, that would be a good idea. But for me, myself, I would take the lump sum upfront because of all the fun things I could do with it in the stock market.
And what would you.
Like buying on midterm election day.
Yeah, okay, let's get to that. So should I buy today, or should I wait tomorrow and see the results?
No, I don't think you have to wait for the results because the market rallies off of midterms just about every single time. The stats are unbelievable. But the setup to this, you have to go to the setup first. The setup is the World Series. The Phillies lost. That is really good news for the stock market. I don't know if it's some kind of a bad thing because the first stock trade took place on a, you know, street corner in Philadelphia, and it's. I don't know what it is. But as long as the Phillies don't win the World Series, the stock market is in decent shape. But yeah, midterms, what happens in midterms is that the market sells off into the midterms about a month before the midterms, then it turns around and goes positive. Doesn't mean it's gonna be positive on the year, but at least from that point, about a month before midterms, then the market starts to rally. And that's pretty consistent. You know, since 1934, we can actually take a look at this a lot of different ways, but since 1934, if we take a look at the six-month return on the stock market post-midterm, 21 out of 22 times, the stock market has gained money. Even in the two-month period following, 17 out of 22 times, the stock market has made money, and that average two-month return, 3.8%. So that would be on average, what you'd be looking at through the end of the year. Average six-month return, 13.6%. So that's really, the odds are in your favor. Much better odds for you there than in the lottery.
Fair enough. But in those elections and in this one, it doesn't matter what party controls, say, the House, just that you get over the midterm hump, it's gonna be good regardless?
That's exactly right, and it's partly the relief. And it doesn't matter if a chamber is lost either. This has been kind of interesting. So if we take a look at, you know, back to 1856, we're looking at 40 midterm election years. 14 of those times, chamber has changed hands, and in the last 100 years, that really doesn't affect the return on that change. In fact, right now, the change of hands would be good, as Steve mentioned, because that creates gridlock for Congress, which is generally good for the stock market because the stock market doesn't like uncertainty.
This is interesting, and, what do you know? An encouraging word in a way. We'll pick it up here in a minute with John Beaver, financial advisor, Phase III Advisory Services. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're talking to John Beaver, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm and registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates. John's been telling us that coming out of a midterm, the market almost always goes up. How many out of how many times? 20 out of 21, something like that, John?
Yeah, 21 out of 22 times, 6 months after the midterms, the market is higher, and that's since 1934. It did not hold true in 1930, however. The deep decline of the stock market crash that year is one of the exceptions.
And you don't see any thing to change your mind about that. We're not. This isn't 1930, so you're optimistic. Do you have a number? Do you see how much the markets are going to move up?
I don't think a lot more, so I'm not super optimistic. There are some negatives out there. So while we've got the positive with the midterms, and that's a short-term positive,
yeah.
I have to throw the Astros in there, that's positive too.
What is this with you in the first? I thought you were going to defer to when a National League team wins or an American League team wins, but this sounds more like you're dialed in on the Phillies. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, really, it's nothing against the Phillies. I feel sorry for them. I really do. But unfortunately, when the Phillies win, the market does terrible.
So. I didn't know that. They haven't won the World Series that many times.
No, a couple of times. So
when they do bad. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Okay, so earnings are a neutral for stocks, and you have to have increasing earnings. Ultimately, the stock market prices itself off of earnings. And so we take a look at the earnings of all the S&P 500 stocks together, and we use that as one of the indicators. So we need to have increasing earnings. You know, the market can overcome the headwinds of inflation and of interest rates as long as earnings remain strong. And the earnings this year, they're weak. They're not the best. And we're down from last year. That's understandable given the loss now of the government stimulus and some other things. But we've got positive numbers coming in, but they're not super positive. So I'd say the earnings are neutral on the market. So we got a chance of moving higher because of the midterms, a chance of moving maybe a little bit higher because of earnings. Then we got the recession on the front here, and that is the negative that's out there. You see, Americans have lost affordability. Inflation isn't a problem as long as you keep pace with inflation. The problem is when you don't keep pace with inflation. And so that's a negative. The consumer is weakening. And while the recession talk right now is taking a backseat to the election, and probably will for at least a week until we know that everything is resolved with the election, those recession fears are going to come back because Jay Powell made it very clear in Jackson Hole. They are going to continue to increase interest rates until they see inflation come down to 2% and they see the unemployment rate increase. So that's the bad news about the stock market and a possible recession.
But this recession strikes me as a slow train wreck that we all see coming. And we're all going to watch it in real time. And we're all going to be on it or near it. But that we know what it is. We know what it looks like. We almost know how long it's going to last. I mean, it strikes me as something that, however unfortunate for all of us, is manageable. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it is manageable, and the market is, I think, partly priced in a recession, but not too much. There's still a lot of soft landing talk out there that maybe we won't have the recession. It's really hard to tell. We cannot predict what's going to happen with this, and this makes the hard point. And this goes back to how you design your portfolio. You've got to be able to weather a recession in the next year, and if it does happen, I think it's going to happen next year. And you've got to be able to weather that. So you have to have money on the sidelines where you don't have to sell a stock at a loss or in a down market to pay your bills. So three-year money shouldn't be in the market. It just shouldn't be there. Even with this potential rally, go ahead and put some fun money in if you want to. But your serious money that you're going to need in the next couple of years should not go into the stock market because of this looming recession. And again, the Fed has said they're going to, in essence, create a recession to slow the economy so that
right.
they can take the pressure off of inflation. They've made that very clear. But maybe we've heard it so much that now we're just used to it, and when the recession actually happens, that'll be the trigger for a further sell-off. But the market doesn't sell off really far into the recession. The market tends to sell off before the recession and bottom the first month of the recession.
Well, the Fed only has so many tools. I mean, what do you like them to do in December? Do you want it at 50, 25, 75? What do you like?
Yeah, I want to see it at 50, and then I want to see them just, you know, almost stop at that point in time and let the interest rate increases do the intended work and not go overboard. See, they went too overboard on stimulating. They put too much money in after the financial crisis, too much money in after COVID, and now they got to get that money back. Unfortunately, they're really not taking the money back. They're raising interest rates, which that's normalizing them, but they do also have to take back this $9 trillion that they printed and injected into the system. And they're starting to do that. There's something that's called the balance sheet runoff, where they let these bonds mature. What they've done is, you know, they buy bonds. It gives the banking system and the financial system dollars, and they hold these bonds. As these bonds mature, hopefully they won't go in and buy more treasury bonds. They'll just let those roll off.
1911 World Series, the Philadelphia Phillies beat the Giants. What happened that year?
Beats me.
Recession.
But I would guess the market was down.
Market was down. 1929, Philadelphia Athletics beat the Chicago Cubs 4-1. What happened in 1929 in the fall?
Yeah, that was not good. That was worst of all, 1929 into 1930.
1930, the Philadelphia Athletics beat the St. Louis Cardinals 4-2. Great Depression. 1980, World Series, Philadelphia Phillies beat the Royals 4-2. Double dip recession in 1980. 2008, Phillies beat the Rays 4-1 and ushered in the great financial crisis. I hate the Phillies.
Aren't you glad they lost?
Good to talk to you, John. Thanks for your thoughts.
You too.
That's John Beaver. Thank you, producer Pete. Financial advisor, Phase 3 Advisory Services, 1228.
Bundling car and renter's insurance.